ان الحمد لله والصلاه والسلام على اشرف الانبياء وعلى اله واصحابه ومن والاه بعد. We are on our reflections of the Quran series, and today we go to the next ayat of Surah Al-Fatiha, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in continuation with his introduction, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala started by beginning in his name and then mentioning himself in his shan as Rabbul Alameen, and then he mentioned his rahmah, and then he said Maliki Yawmiddin, Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim Maliki Yawmiddin. As I mentioned yesterday, the point of reflection first of all is to thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to make his hamd and sana that he chose to introduce himself as Rahman Ar-Rahim before he mentioned his position as the owner of the Day of Judgment. In the various styles of recitation of the Quran, this particular ayat is recited in some cases as Maliki Yawmiddin, in some cases as Maliki Yawmiddin, and Malik means the owner, Malik means the king, who is also the owner. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned himself as Maliki Yawmiddin. I remind myself and you that the point of reflection here, of course, this is our iman and this is our aqeedah, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Day of Judgment belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Everything belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but specifically with regard to this, and that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, on this Day of Judgment, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in another place in the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Limanil mulkul yawm, lillahi al-wahidil qahar. Allah said, who is the Malik and who is the king today? And this is the statement that will be made by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when everything has been finished. And before the blowing of the sur, which will bring back to life all that has been destroyed. So this is of course our aqidah. But the point of reflection here is, I remind myself and you, for us to reflect on where will I be on this day? What will be my state on this day? Because Maliki Yawmiddin is not just a intellectual concept. It is not just a matter of information that Allah is the Malik of Yawmiddin. He chooses to bring it back to us and say, so what? How does that affect me? Does it affect me in the first place? And if it affects me, then how? Where will I be? And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam described the scenes, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala described the scenes of the Day of Judgment, and Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam described the scenes of the Day of Judgment. And the general population will be in a state of great stress. Great stress. The sun will be close up above the head. People will be literally immersed in their own sweat, some until their ankles and some until their knees and some until their waist, and some they will have the sweat like a bridle through their nose, meaning it will be all the way up above their mouths and under their noses, almost like drowning in their sweat. And this has to do with the amount of sins and the amount of disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that they have indulged in, and they died without making tawbah. And this is the general population. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also mentioned what will happen when the books of deeds are handed. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned that in the Quran, that the person who gets this book of deeds in the right hand will take it around and he will tell people, read it, see what I got, I passed. And he would have got this book of deeds in his right hand, even though the hisab is not yet over. But the very fact that he got the book of deeds in his right hand or her right hand is an indicator that this hisab will be easy for this person, and inshallah this person will pass. That's why Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam used to make this dua, Allahumma hasibni hisaban yaseera, and we make the same dua for us, Allahumma hasibna hisaban yaseera, O Allah, make our hisab easy. And then there will be people, and we ask Allah to protect us from that, who will get their books in their left hand. Yeah, or behind their backs. And this is a this is again an indicator that, you know, it's all finished. And that's the end of the story. This is the where you get the book of deeds itself is an indicator. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam mentioned also the famous hadith narrated by Abu Hurairah radhiyallahu anhu. It's a tawil hadith, a long hadith, which I will not go into the entire detail of that. But where Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam will be given the special maqam, where he will make sujood before Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala on the Day of Judgment, and Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala will say, Irfa ra'asaka ya Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, raise your head, O Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and he will say, ask, Ishfa tashfa, you ask me and I will give you. And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam will say, oh Allah, establish the mizan, establish the judgment, so that people will be released from the stress and from the difficulty that they are in currently. And this is the same Nabi whose sunnah we find it so difficult to follow today. Think about this, because the whole point is that everyone will have 20/20 vision on the Day of Judgment. Everyone will have complete, clear clarity of sight. The issue is that that clarity of sight is not going to help on that day. That clarity of sight we must have before that day. So we change our ways and we reach the Day of Judgment in a way, in a state where we will inshallah be free from the difficulties of that day. So where will I be on the Day of Judgment? This is the point of reflection. So where then Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said that there will then be people who will be given the shade of the Arsh of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala on a day when there will be no shade except the shade of the Arsh of Allah. Yeah, and this is another dua of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. He said, Allahumma adhillani tahta arshuk yawma la dhillu illa dhilluk. Yawma la dhilla illa dhilluk. He said, O Allah, give me the shade of your arsh on this day when there is no shade except your shade. And we make the same dua for ourselves. So there will be people, and in the famous hadith, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam narrated seven categories of people who will be under the shade of the arsh of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. And among those seven categories is the just ruler. The just ruler, the one who establishes justice. And remember, this issue of just ruler is not only confined to the presidents and prime ministers and kings and queens of the world. It is anyone who is an authority over anyone else. So if you have one servant in your house, you and I are under this category of being a just ruler. Because this person reports to us, we pay his salary or her salary, and therefore, to establish justice is our job. And there is a punishment for not doing it, but to look at the positive side of it, if a person does that, imagine he is going to get the arsh of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala as his shade on this day when there is no shade except the shade of the arsh of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. And in the same category also is the young person, is the young man or woman who is invited. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, a young man who is invited to sin by a beautiful woman of high social standing and wealth, and he stays away and he says, I am afraid of the wrath of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala and I will not indulge in something which is haram. So chastity and protecting our virtue and having dignity and haya, this is a cause is something which, in any case, it's momentary. No matter what you do, it's end of the day, it's a momentary pleasure. But Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala says that this, if somebody resists this and does not do it because the person does not want to offend Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala, doesn't want to disobey Allah, Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala will give him the shade of the arsh. Inshallah. And this category also, another group of people who are included in this category are those people who used to love Allah Subhanahu, who used to love each other for the sake of Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala. Yeah, their friendship, al-wala wal-bara, lillahi ta'ala faqad. Their friendship with each other was for the sake of Allah. And if they were not friend with somebody, it was not because of personal hatred and so on. It was only because that person indulges in shirk and kufr and indulges in haram and indulges in disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Therefore, I stay away from this person. So the friendship and the enmity is only for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So those two people who used to meet and part for the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, these people are the people under the arsh of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, totally seven categories. So the hadith of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam where he mentioned these people. So question to ask ourselves is, will I be one of them? We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us among them, not only on one account, but inshallah on all the seven accounts. But we have to do something for this. So will I be among those people who will be given the shade? And then of course Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam also mentioned, he said that there will also be people who will be given not just the shade of the arsh of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but they will be given places and positions of great honor under the shade of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's arsh. And these positions of honor will be members of pearls. They will be thrones of pearls which will be given to these people, and they will be seated on those thrones of pearls, and people will ask, who is this person? Is this person a Nabi? Is this person a Shaheed fi Sabilillah? And it will be said, this person was not a Nabi and this person is not a Shaheed fi Sabilillah. This person is an Ummati of Muhammad Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam who used to invite towards Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. And that's another category of people who will be under the shade of the arsh of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So there will be people whose feet will be stuck to the earth of the Maidan of Hashar, and they will not be able to move, because Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that your person, the son of Adam, will not be able to move until he answers four questions. And the question is that he will have to answer, and every one of us will have to answer this question. And the first question is, what did you do with the time, with the life that I gave you? We have to account for every single second of our life. What did you do with the time that I gave you? Time is life. What did you do with the time I gave you? Second question is, what did you do with the youth that I gave you? Not just the old age. Everybody becomes, pious in the old age. The question is piety in the time, at the time when you have the money and you have the health and the strength and so on to do things which are disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So what did you do with the youth that I gave you? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not ask, how long did you live? Whether you lived for 10 minutes or you lived for 10,000 years, what did you do with the time that I gave you? Similarly, Allah will not ask, in your youth, did you have health? No. Whatever you had, accounting for that. Third question, what did you do with the knowledge that I gave you? Did you keep it to yourself? Did you practice it? Did you communicate it to others? What did you do with this knowledge? Did you have the knowledge and then you never practice this knowledge? Yeah, these are sources of very great punishment before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Somebody who has knowledge and who does not live by that knowledge. Somebody who has knowledge and who will not communicate this knowledge. He keeps it and he charges money to communicate knowledge about the kitab of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he will not give this knowledge to somebody who is not able to pay his fees. Now, we have reduced Islam to a level where we sell it like we sell, bhajiyas or God knows, Allah knows best. We sell Islam for the sake of money. La hawla wala quwwata illa billah. We should be ashamed of ourselves. This is a question of the day of judgment. What did you do with the knowledge? Yallah, I kept the knowledge and I did not give it because the fellow couldn't pay my fees. We are going to answer this question. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. No Nabi ever charged money. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said this in the Quran so many times. And the fourth question is, what did you earn and where did you spend it? Did you earn halal and spend halal, or did you earn haram and spend haram, or vice versa, whichever way? What did you earn? From where did you earn? And where did you spend it? Please notice, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not ask, how much did you earn? Were you a millionaire? How come you were not a billionaire? How come you did not make a billion? No. Whatever it was, if it was 10 rupees, 10 cents, $10, how did you earn it? This $10, did you steal it? Did you lie and cheat? Did you beg for it? Did you pick somebody's pocket? $10. Yeah? Just $10 or 10 rupees. Or did you earn this halal? And then where did you spend it? The same 10 rupees. Did you spend it in the wine shop? In the, Godambe gaddame kharch kara, kya kara? Sawal hai. 10 rupees kara. Not that he has spent, 10,000 rupees or $10 million. No. Whether more or less, Allah will not ask how much did you earn. Allah will ask, from where did you earn and where did you spend? And again, I said, Allah knows already. He's not asking you for information. This is to establish the hujjat against us or in favor of us. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to save us so that the hujjat is established in favor of us, inshallah. and that we are able to answer these questions. So many different scenes of the day of judgment, which I'm trying to say it as briefly as possible, many different scenes of the day of judgment. People in many different states. Some states of great stress and great pain and great suffering, and other states of great honor and great comfort on the day of judgment. Both are there. The question is, where will I be? Because wallahi, on the day of judgment, it will not matter where anybody else is. The only thing which will matter is where I am, where you are. On the day of judgment, there will be no relationships. There is no father, there is no mother, there is no child, there is no nobody, no friend. All those relationships end with death. Once we are dead, our own dearest and nearest will put us into the ground in a hole and dump mud on our face. That is an indicator that relationship is gone. That's the end of the relationship. There's no relationship after that. On the day of judgment, the father will not give one single good deed to the child. The child will not give one single good deed to the father. Today we cannot even imagine. Today for our children, we'll give anything. Absolutely anything. You know, there's nothing that you will not give for your child. Sometimes children are very unreasonable. They demand all kinds of nonsensical stuff, but parents are like slaves. They give anything. Even though they know that giving it is wrong, still they will give it. Not on the day of judgment. The child can come and cry and do what it wants. The child, the father, the mother, nothing. Khalas. No relationship. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned in this in the Quran. They will run from each other. They will run from each other. The brother will run from the brother. The child will run from the parents. Parents will run from the child. Where will we be on that day of judgment? What will be our state? And that is the question to ask, because wherever we choose to be, Allah today has given us the opportunity. We can choose. Today we are in the great situation where we can actually choose our place. If I want to be under the shade of the Arsh of Allah, today Allah has given me that opportunity, and He has given you that opportunity to decide. You want to be under the shade of Allah? No problem. Pick your place. But once we go from here, then there is no choice. Then we go with whatever we go. So where will we be on that day? We have to seriously ask ourselves this question. And we have to say very clearly, we have to be clear in our minds to say, what am I doing today and where will it take me? On that day when no one will help anyone else. لا تزر وازرة وزر أخرى. No one will carry the burden of anybody else. We have to examine our own aqaid. Because many of us walk around thinking that so and so will help me, and so and so will help me, and so and so will, so and so will take me here and take me there. There is no dalil whatsoever for any of that. Absolutely nothing. If there is a dalil, find it. The dalil, the position of dalil in the Quran, is the Quran, is the book of Allah, and the sunnah of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Where in the Quran and the sunnah, where in the Quran and the hadith is it mentioned that so and so and so and so with names will help you on the day of judgment? Nothing. Whereas the contrary is mentioned not once but many times, that no one will help anyone else, each one for himself or herself. The famous hadith, and I don't know how many times we would have heard this same hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam saying to Fatima az-Zahra radhiyallahu anha, his favorite daughter, saying that, O Fatima, do not think that on the day of judgment you will stand before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as the daughter of Muhammad. You will stand on the basis of your own amal. If the Ajeeb, I don't know where. Why do we even read these hadiths? Go and verify. Is it this hadith is true or false or what? And if it is true, and we know it is true. If Sayyida Fatima radiallahu anha, her father is Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Who is a better father, and who has higher status as a father with Allah than Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Who is a better daughter than Fatima radiallahu anha? And that father and daughter combination, the father who was the recipient of wahi, the father who was the one who was taken in mi'raj, he is saying to his daughter, don't think that you will stand on the day of judgment before Allah as my daughter, as the daughter of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You will stand on the basis of your own deeds. then where are we? We have to think seriously. We have to, alhamdulillah, we have great hope in the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We have great hope in the shafa'at of Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which Allah inshallah will give him. But the shafa'at is for whom? Is for those who have the aqidah of tawheed and who follow the sunnah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. There is no shafa'at, please understand very clearly, there is no shafa'at for people who committed shirk. There is no shafa'at for people who committed kufr. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will permit Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to exercise shafa'at according to his conditions. I don't know, that's why I say we have to learn deen, we have to learn about Islam, not live in a world of superstitious nonsense. Shafa'at of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we accept it, we look forward to it, we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give it to him. Every after every adhan, the dua we make is for that only. But we also understand that this shafa'at is for people who satisfy certain basic boundary conditions. A man came to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and said, Ya Rasulullah, please make dua that I should be with you on the day of judgment. And I should be with you in Jannah. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, I will make dua, but you help me with your deeds. What is the meaning of saying help me? The dua of the Nabi needs help. What is he saying? He is pointing to the fact that don't simply think that the dua of so and so and so and so, there is no one bigger than the Nabi, that the dua alone will take you somewhere. No, you have to support this dua with your actions. Certain boundary conditions have to be satisfied. Keeping away from all forms of shirk, staying on tawheed, ensuring that the fara'id are completed, ensuring that you don't fall into haram, that you do only and eat only what is halal and not eat, meaning not just food, but also earning which is haram. Staying basic boundary conditions. I'm not talking about tahajjud and nawafil fasting and so on and khairat. All this is, of course, we have to do. And these are things which increase darajat. But basic foundational things of Islam, the boundary conditions of Islam must be satisfied. Now, if you're not even satisfying the boundary conditions, and then we expect that the dua of so and so and so and so will help you, wallahu alam. Wallahu alam. And that is why I remind myself and you, when we say Maliki Yawmiddin, we must reflect on the fact that Allah is the Malik of the Day of Judgment, but where will I be on that Day of Judgment? I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help us to reflect on His kalam and to open our hearts to guidance so that we do that which is pleasing to Him. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to save us from that which does not please Him. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil kareem wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajmain. Bi rahmatika ya rahmatullahi.